Welcome back, everybody, to the In Focus podcast series. I'm Larry Vino, again, the CTO here at Focus Technologies. I'm joined here today by my good buddy and longtime colleague. We've worked together at a couple different spots, Todd Mallett from Arctic Wolf. Todd, you want to say hi to the people?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Larry. Todd Mallett, one of the SEs with Arctic Wolf. Been here around 4 years or so, and working with LV for many more than 4 years.
Absolutely. I affectionately call him the beard. He's got one of the greatest beards in IT. At a company that has a lot of really good beards. Arctic Wolf leads the league in phenomenal beards.
Headquartered in Minneapolis, so Minnesota boys.
Exactly. So let me start by saying congratulations. You guys have been getting a lot of accolades in the industry, a lot of awards, a lot of recognition, which is all good, right? Because this is a space that needs mind share, needs people to pay attention. For too long, people haven't been paying attention. And most recently, you won the Gartner Voice of the Customer Award, which is actually a pretty slick award. So congrats on that.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, customer feedback is critical to what we do and making us know that we are doing a good job for our customers. 97% of respondents on that survey said that they would recommend us to a friend. So that's kind of what that one was all about, and it's something we're really proud of.
Absolutely. You should be. And you're our SOC, as folks know from listening to previous podcasts. So we're happy you guys continue to do well, because when you do well, we do well.
Yep.
So we talked a little bit on the last couple of podcasts about our program, our wheel, the things we do to help customers, the things we talk about that they have to do to protect themselves. And today we're going to focus on security operations, right, which is a kind of a misunderstood space. You know, we'll get into some of the details on why that is, right? But people refer to this sometimes as a product, as a piece of a solution, right? And so we'll kind of demystify a little bit of what we think a comprehensive SOC is. But let's start with the thing that most companies don't have today still and really should have today. And that's some kind of an IR, incident response retainer, right? So that if something happens, they have a guaranteed SLA, a guaranteed rate, right? So they're not going to get, you know, leaned over the coals, right? And honestly, before that, a little bit of a pre-call to get everybody on the same page as to who the key stakeholders are, key applications, that kind of stuff. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, your acquisition? I think was it a year ago now?
Almost two.
Wow, yep. Time flies. Do you want to talk a little bit about, you know, the Tetra acquisition and what you guys are doing in this IR space?
Yes, about 2 years ago, we purchased an IR firm called Tetra Defense out of Wisconsin, actually. By now, they are fully integrated into Arctic Wolf. They are called Arctic Wolf IR. And it is a team of individuals that provide hands-on keyboard and perhaps even feet-on-the-street type of support for any customers that require IR. They have a catastrophic event. They need help. They need it rapidly, and they need it done correctly the first time. They operate in a couple different ways. They interface directly with quite a few cyber insurance firms in the United States. We're on the panel with a lot of them. But then they also can work with Arctic Wolf customers as well. So we kind of took a step and looked at what IR retainers look like in general in the marketplace. And more often than not, they're a large bucket of money that you pay up front. And it includes some services as a part of it. Tabletop exercises are the most normal ones that we see included in that. But the lowest one that we've seen, at least in our competitive space, is around a $30,000 buy-in. It was an extremely expensive ask for a lot of customers, especially when you start working down mid-market SMB commercial type customers. It was just too much, and weren't getting a lot of
benefit. And a lot of use it or lose it, right? It was like, hey, you're $30K a year, and oh, by the way, if you didn't use the services, too bad, it's $30K again next year.
That's exactly right, and it's a large line item for a lot of these customers to consume with little value unless something does go boom, and obviously no one wants anything to go boom, so it's just kind of it's just kind of money. So what we did is we took a look at the IR retainer in general. We lowered the cost of that to make it obtainable for absolutely anyone. It is available separately from Arctic Wolf. You don't need to be an Arctic Wolf customer to use it. But we have an MSRP of around $5,000 for that IR retainer. But then we also looked at what IR retainers are doing. They're, again, providing a bucket of hours, perhaps, use it or lose it. And that's not the way we wanted to approach this. So there's a couple components to ours. And the first one and most important one is planning. We actually do an IR planning session with the customer and look through what that would look like in their environment, who the players are, what their IT stack looks like, what their security stack is, BCDR, all these types of things. And we input that into a portal that is always accessible by the customer. It can be tuned and tweaked and updated, so it's a living, breathing document. And then we can generate a IR plan for that customer that they can have on their desk in tangible form and make it actionable, right? So having all that pre-planning done in the event something does go boom stops the scramble, right?
Yeah.
You're not scrambling around on the worst day of your life trying to find CI, trying to find your lawyer. All these things are inputted and easily accessible. So that was the first big piece that we did, adding, I think, legitimate value into that IR retainer.
By the way, the other nice thing about that, about having that plan like saved in a SaaS offering, right, yeah, is if you get ransomware, where's usually the plan?
It's probably on a server that got, that exactly, got locked up. Yeah, exactly, so, right. So the portal's air-gapped. Obviously, it's our portal. It's accessible at any time from anywhere. And then, you know, printing out that tangible plan is something that I'd recommend doing as well. And then share it with everyone in the industry or in your company. Share it with your cyber insurance firm as well, so they understand that you guys do have a plan in place as well. So that was the first thing. The second thing we looked at was response times. So usually they're between a 2 and a 4 hour type of response time. Again, worst day of your life is occurring right now, and I have to sit here and wait for 3 to 4 hours. That was unacceptable to us. So we did a 1 hour or less response time. If anyone invokes IR with Arctic Wolf, our typical response time right now sits around a half an hour or so, but 1 hour.
I was going to say, we've seen it 15 to 20 minutes. Yeah. It's been fantastic.
It's amazing. And it's 24 hours a day, of course. So that 1 hour is true of any time of day. So very, very rapid to respond if a customer does have an incident. If we do experience an incident and we get into an IR conversation, we do a complimentary scoping call with the customer, review what's going on in the environment. We already have that plan in place, so we know what the stack looks like. And then we develop a statement of work against the assumption of time that it will take to solve that customer's problem. And then we step right into action. The other benefit of an IR retainer with Arctic Wolf, at least, is that we give preferential pricing. Should you require IR, the hourly cost is far less than it would be for normal non-IR retainer customers.
Yeah, well, I won't name any names, but if you go out and you Google IR services, right, you'll find some rates in the 500 plus range, right? So this is why we tell customers, sign a retainer, get protected, get all the things you just talked about, including a protected rate.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Ours, if you are on the IR retainer, the pricing is $295 per hour. I think our normal is just under $4. So it is a pretty big discount from an hourly rate perspective. And again, this is only a $5,000 list price buy-in per year,
right,
for this level of benefit. I think we did a phenomenal job with this. And it's really meant to protect companies and give them something to go on. And like I said, you can have just this from Arctic Wolf, or you can have more of what we have as well, which we'll talk about later. But I think this is a great benefit for any customer, not just ours.
I couldn't agree more. And we like it so much that we actually moved our services in this realm, because we were doing this for our customers before. We were talking about, you know, making sure they're protected. This was a big checkbox for us in our security wheel. And we moved our stuff to you guys. And we actually, for all of our managed services customers, every contract we write, new contract, includes this retainer by default. We make customers tell us they don't want it and they want to pull it out, because we believe it's that important to the environment.
I love seeing it. And again, the buy-in being as low as it is, and the fact that we're on the panel with so many cyber insurance firms out there.
That's huge.
Something does pop and you need to use Arctic Wolf IR, you're never going to get pushback saying, hey, we can't use Arctic Wolf. They're not, yeah, on our list.
Right. And you said it earlier, right? Think about the stress of that day, worst day of your life, right? And you're like, crap, where's my plan? Well, if you have this retainer service, the plan is safely protected offsite somewhere, right? So we, yep, got that. We've identified who needs to be called, right? Which key stakeholders on our side need to be, you know, pulled into the war room, right? You've identified key applications and what we have to do to make sure that we, you know, move forward with these things, right? These are all things that are critically important. And then to your last point, when you go, because depending on the size of your organization, depending on the complexity of the incident, right? It could be lawyers have to be pulled in, PR firms have to be pulled in, right? And when you start working with an IR company and those things start to happen, and then the cyber insurance company has to be pulled in because they have to be part of this, right? They're gonna pay the claim, right? To then be told, oh, well, this person not authorized, and they bring their own person in, and all of a sudden you're starting from scratch again, right? It's just not fun, right? You just took a very bad day and made it even worse. So the fact that you guys are involved in all the major cyber insurance companies is huge, right? In the past, we've seen exactly what I just talked about happen, where we've gotten engaged, gotten people to help, and then we've been told, stand aside, we got it, right? And then we end up not quite double the time, but spending a lot more time kind of reinventing the wheel than if we just continued to move forward the plan. With you guys, that has never happened. Right?
No.
Everyone knows who you are.
Yeah, I mean, the frustration a customer would feel during that event and just the optics of having to, again, go back and start over because you just, sure, got denied whoever your IR firm happened to have been is nowhere anyone wants to be. So,
right,
again, we've gone to great lengths to make sure that we're on panel with most of the major insurance carriers in the United States. And it's worked out really well.
Yep, it definitely has. And our personal experience has been fantastic.
Yeah.
Been fantastic. Great. And you guys have been great too. We work with a bunch of insurance companies, and so they'll pull us in sometimes when their customers get hit. So we work with all different IR teams when we're not driving the bus, if you will. And your guys are definitely a top tier. There's no doubt about it.
It's a great team. The feedback we've gotten has been really stellar. You know, for me personally, as just a regular human being, I like to know that what I'm doing is helping the people that I've worked with, right?
Sure.
And we've been engaged with a lot of different customers in New England that have needed this, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And the feedback we've always gotten is killer team. They solved the problem as rapidly as I think anyone could have.
Right.
Went through root cause analysis, which is another big part of this, right? Mm-hmm. How did this happen in the first place, guys? And then let's understand what we can all do, talk about, so maybe this won't happen in the future.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yep. In a perfect world, right? We talked about the wheel on several other calls. Like, you'd have the wheel implemented. You have all these compliance controls in place, right? And so you're well protected. But this is not a 100% sum game here. There's always going to be 0 days. There's always going to be new stuff, right? So if something happens, you at least have the IR retainer to help you make a small thing stay a small thing and not become a big thing.
Yeah, it's a great plan. It's a good fallback. You know, one of the reasons we love working with Focus so much is that you guys can also play a part in this. You know the customer environments far better than we do, quite frankly, because you've been managing them for so long.
Sure.
And I think it's just a great partnership for us to both leverage.
Yeah, no, and we've spent a lot of time building out this framework internally between our two companies. And I think we got it right, and customers echo those comments. So let's dive into the security operations side of the house, right? Because there is a lot of misinformation or misunderstanding about what Arctic Wolf solutions are, what, you know, customer solutions are. So let's start with, you know, security operations framework, right? We're big on NIST, right? So let's talk about NIST. Let's talk a little bit about what, you know, in your mind, what are some of the key, like, concepts of a SOC?
I mean, SOC is so vast, right? And that's one of the problems with it.
Sure.
The misconceptions, to your point, are vast because you have 3,000 vendors doing something that relates to security, right? It's
sure.
It's convoluted and confusing. So when you start talking about compliance frameworks, NIST is kind of the granddaddy. Most compliances are based in some way or at least sharing some of the controls from the NIST framework. So for those that aren't familiar, it's identify, protect, detect, respond, and recover. Those are effectively the five different control stacks. And then within them, there's different parameters and things within it, et cetera, that you should adhere to if you want to adhere to NIST.
Yep.
So when we start talking through NIST, we have multiple modules within the Arctic Wolf stack that can address each one of those control planes separately, but also together, right? So we're unifying all of those controls, helping customers meet NIST and some other forms of compliances as well, which I think we'll talk about later. But
definitely,
you've got a ton of them. You've got PCI, CMMC, HIPAA. There's millions of compliances, right?
Right.
So when we start talking about SOC, the way we really view this is, obviously, that means Security Operations Center. And I think a lot of people either kind of silo that into, oh, that's just login event monitoring, right? That's kind of the most simplistic thing that I've heard from customers thinking it is, something with a SIM.
Exactly.
But you have other things within that NIST framework that really talk to patching and vulnerabilities and just understanding your environment in general and, you know, planning. Recover would involve some backup technologies and tactics as well, right? So when I think SOC, I think you should have an overarching security play. That should be your security operations center, and Arctic Wolf can act as that in many different ways.
Nope, that makes perfect sense. And when we think about, you know, what you guys are doing, right, we already talked about the IR side of that, right? You've got the IR piece now, which you didn't have in the past, so you closed that hole and what we all believe is a comprehensive security strategy. You have the, you know, MDR piece you just referenced, right? That's, you know, it's the SIM technology we'll talk about in a second, coupled with, you know, ML, AI, people, process, right? And, you know, so they're looking at all the bad stuff, pulling all the logs, right? And then figuring out which things need to be escalated, not escalated. You also have the managed risk piece, which is the vulnerability management, which is the one that, you know, we're a managed service provider, right? So we often joke with our customers and say, hey, man, let us do the stuff that you don't want to do, right? Or more appropriately in a lot of cases, the stuff you're falling behind on, right? And we as an industry, and I always say this, right? Because I'm guilty too, right? Because I've been doing this a long time and I was an IC for a while, right? Before I traded a couple IQ points for a sports coat. And so we always talk about how, you know, we stink at documentation, right? We're awful at it. And then second behind that is we're terrible at patching, right? We just don't keep up, right? And it's not entirely our fault, right? Because who patches Microsoft immediately after they release a patch, right?
Hopefully no one.
People. Exactly. So, you know, patching is an area that we're just not good at. And so as a managed service provider, we're always saying to customers, hey, let us take on patching, right? We've got all the tools. We've got all the monitoring. Like, you know, we can tell you where you are. We can do all that stuff. But you guys have taken a step further, and you've actually created this managed risk offering where you're going to dynamically scan these environments. You're going to tell them where they stand against known goods, but also what baddies are like hanging out there. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So managed risk for us, again, is the vulnerability management piece of what we do. And we'd really designed this to help customers make sense of their vulnerabilities. Because when you're doing a vulnerability assessment as a part of a pen test, right, we see a lot of that. Hey, I'm going to do a pen test annually or biannually. They're going to do a risk assessment as well. They give you this laundry list of things and hope you can fix it in the next 6 to 12 months before you do it again, right? So that's a problem number one. The other bigger problem is vulnerabilities are a daily. They are not a monthly, a quarterly, or an annual type of thing. So managed risk scans 24/7, scans the entire environment, most importantly. So we're scanning networks, we're scanning the dark web, internal, external, endpoints, all the things that a customer environment contains, looking for vulnerabilities proactively, and then prioritizing them via a portal that, of course, the customer has access to, and saying, hey, you have 1,000 vulnerabilities, but 50 of them are a SEV 7 to 10. Let's go hit the 7 to 10s,
amen.
Right? Because that's where you should be spending your time. You probably have 100, 200, 300, 2s, 3s, and 4s. Yes, they're a vulnerability, sure, but their chances of being exploited, or if they are exploited, the impact that they'll make are minimal enough.
Sure.
This is where we spend our time. No one likes to patch. No one.
Nobody.
It's horrible. So when we can kind of help a customer realize what's important to them, and hopefully, you know, create a management plan around it so they can delineate responsibilities to other people in their environment, like a desktop laptop admin, for example. We're automatically categorizing these assets. So now you can make a management plan around endpoints, hand it over to he or she. They're responsible, do the fix, report back, et cetera, et cetera. So, and it's highly reportable too.
Yes.
Reports are a big deal, right? So we have, I think, 70, 80 different types of reports total with Arctic Wolf. They can be customized. They can be simple one-page executive summaries. They can be more in-depth if you need to provide, you know, evidence to a cyber insurance firm that, hey, sure, I'm doing this stuff. So that's been a critical component for us. And again, from an overarching perspective, what SOC is, we think that preemptively hardening your environment to make it more difficult to breach in the first place is really important.
Absolutely.
And oftentimes it's either ignored or not done at the frequency it should be done at.
And that's why our two companies are so aligned, right? Because we both believe the same thing. Like, our security wheel is about increasing security posture of our customers, increasing awareness of what's going on, right? And you guys approach it the same way, which brings me to the next piece of the puzzle, which is the managed security awareness piece, right? So I've talked about this on a prior podcast, but I'm going to say it again, because I think, number one, I think it's funny, but number two, it's true, right? You know, our chief strategy officer, who joined me for last week's podcast, talks about how, you know, security is like being a parent, right? Corporate security. Because at home, you can have, and I know you're a gadget guy like I am, yep, right? You can have sensors on your windows and your doors, and you can have cameras all around the house. So from your phone, you can pull up right now and see exactly what's going on in your house. You'll get alerts when stuff changes, right? But if a bad thing comes to the front door and rings a doorbell and your kid opens the front door, all bets are off, right? That is corporate security, right? We're doing all these things. We're putting sensors and cameras and tracking devices and all over the place in corporate America. But if somebody opens a door, it's all bets are off. So talk a little bit about the managed security awareness offering from AW.
So we developed this. This is about 2.5 years old, I believe, now. So it's quite mature at this point. The goal of this was to make more intelligent humans when it comes down to security. Yep. To your point, the kid opens the door, all bets are off. That's like picking up a USB drive you found in the parking lot.
Absolutely.
That's like clicking the link for a shiny $50 gift card. And some of these breaches, the publicized ones that we all read about all the time, the infiltration point was an email that an employee did on their business laptop, opening up their Gmail or Yahoo email. Sure. And that's devastating, right? So if we can change those behaviors, provide security training to end users that's consumable, digestible, not overly technically targeted, and create a more secure human being, the byproduct's a more secure company. And we can help develop a security culture, right? So everyone that works here is a part of the security team.
Right.
Because it's all of our responsibilities at the end of the day. I joke and say it all the time. Like, I wish I could buy this for my family, right? Because you're the computer guy for your family, so am I. And the type of stuff that I see from my family. I won't name names. It's kind of wacky. Like, I didn't buy this. What is this email asking me to respond? I'm like, no, you didn't buy that antivirus application. You're good. Just delete it. Never open it.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. And we do it in a very consumable way, like I said. So it's a bi-weekly email. No portals or usernames or passwords. Click a link. Here's a tab. Watch your training. They're all 5 minutes or less. They're movie quality. We do a lot of work on the presentation style. And they're easily consumable.
Right.
So it's, for us, that's been a huge step forward. And again, it's under the same Arctic Wolf umbrella. So now we have human intelligence. Now we know who your human vulnerabilities are, because they are the number one vulnerability in any company.
Sure.
And I think that's gone a great way to have our completeness of vision realized with, now we can touch your humans. We can look at your risks. We can be proactive. We can look at all the logging information and know what's coming in, so we can be reactive. And I think it's a really good kind of portfolio, if you will, for SOC.
Yeah, and following your model, it's managed for the customer, right? Because sometimes customers go, oh, yeah, now I got to manage an education and training program internally, and
So we are a fully managed service, always. We're not a product. We're not a tool. We're not another widget. We are always a fully managed service, regardless of which one of these modules we're talking about. If it's MDR, MR, or Managed Security Awareness, it's managed by Arctic Wolf. Yes, customers have interaction with us. Focus has interaction with us. We want that because we view this as a partnership. I don't want to sell you a box. I'm not I'm not a box salesman. I want to make sure that you're protected. And in order to do that, it's a two-way street. It has to be a partnership. But at the same time, you don't have to sit there and learn a sim.
Right.
You don't need to be the 24/7. We're the 24/7. So that's why we did it.
Which is a great segue to my next question for you, right? So I'm guilty of this sometimes too, because when I'm talking to people who don't quite understand what security operations is, I'll often say, have you heard of SIEM? And they go, yeah. And I'm like, okay, so it's kind of like that, right? But it's not just that, right? Like, SIEM is part of it. Like, a SIEM is essentially a tool you buy. You either install or you consume it. It can be a SaaS-based service, right? Mm-hmm. But you're configuring this thing. You're setting this thing up. You're feeding it information. You're deciding how you alert on things. And it, there's a whole process that has to go into this. Like, you have to build a program, right? You have to find the tool, configure the tool, build the program, right? And then hire the humans to run the program and monitor the program, right? So when people sometimes go, oh yeah, I'm looking at Arctic Wolf, but I'm also looking at a SIEM, and we're like, whoa, those two things are not the same. Do you want to dive in a little bit on this conversation?
Yeah,
it's kind of like the holy grail of Arctic Wolf conversations.
of the misconceptions, right?
Sure.
So SIEM is an application that is used to create a login event management system, basically.
Yep.
To your point, it's a tool. It's always a tool, no matter what. If you have a SIEM, it is a tool. It's a thing you need to care and feed. And the biggest problem that I see with that, well, there's two really big ones. The first one's 24/7. How many of us can afford 8 to 10 SOC engineers, analysts to run a 24/7 SOC?
How many of us can find 8 to 10?
You can't.
Right? Never mind afford them. You can't even find them.
I know. They're not underpaid people. Right?
Sure.
So, you know, spending $1 million a year for 8 to 10 human beings and then trying to run a 24/7 SOC is brutal. And there's a lot of tech stack that comes along with SIEM. It's not just the application.
Sure.
It's the porting in. It's the integrations. It's the tuning. It's the minimizing of noise. All these types of things.
Yep.
So Arctic Wolf, of course, uses a SIEM. We have one under the covers within Arctic Wolf that we leverage, but we never ask a customer to use the SIEM. In fact, we don't install it at customer locations ever. So to them, it's transparent.
Right.
That's on us. We get to use it. We get to do the correlations and the understanding of what's coming in, what's bad, what's not. And then we get to reach out at a human level, either through Arctic Wolf, through Focus, however it's all stood up, and work through the situation with the customer in a partnership model to make sure that the problem's eradicated, and then later on go through a strategic guidance exercise like, hey, this is how it happened. Let's talk about tightening this up or adhering to this best practice or looking at this thing to make you more secure, like MFA. Still shocking how many companies don't have MFA.
I know. Yeah. Or how many companies get it, and then you see executives that say, this is annoying, turn mine off.
Yeah.
And they're, of course, the ones that get popped, right?
They're not
wrong. When you do these IRs, it's where it starts, yeah. Right?
I mean, it can be cumbersome and moderately annoying. But at the same time, that's now being exploited by bad actors to push MFA fatigue attacks.
100%.
We're so used to seeing these login screens that now we just hit accept kind of obligatorily. And and that's when you get popped.
Yeah. And it's funny because like I know that some people are big on the push, right? They love the push. I'm anti-push. Like, I'm like, no, the push is like not good. Like, because exactly what you said, we've seen MFA fatigue attacks and we've seen people succumb to them because you get so many pop-ups, and sometimes you don't even like click it, meaning to click it. You're just, your phone in general has a million pop-ups, right? You could be muting your phone, basically. Yeah, you could be trying to mute your phone. You could be trying to like flip through an application. You accidentally hit allow, right? Yep. So like we're not big fans of the push side. We're like, for the love of God, just send a text message, right? Like get a code, punch the code in. Like it literally takes seconds. It's not that big a deal.
There's various ways to skin the cat for sure. But at the end of the day, if someone does get a push and we're integrated with any MFA platform that they have, we can see if that push was initiated from Massachusetts or if it was initiated from some foreign country that you have no business being in.
Absolutely.
So, you know, those are the types of things that we're looking at. And a SIM can see that as well, but you have to do every bit of that yourself. I was talking to a college in New Hampshire last year, I think, and they were on a popular SIM, good tool, good brand. It was two individuals trying to manage said SIM. And he said to me straight up, he's like, listen, I get an alert every 11 seconds. How do I manage that?
Yeah.
You don't.
You don't.
The answer is you don't.
Right.
And some of these really publicized breaches that we've seen in the last 5 years or so, they had a SIM. Mm-hmm. They had the warnings. Target's a great example of this.
Fantastic example.
They had a SIM. They had the alerts for 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. They didn't look at it because they didn't have the bandwidth or the time.
Right.
And then everybody gets new debit cards. I got one. My wife had to get one. It's a pain. Yeah. It's a pain. Sure. My Netflix got shut down because I forgot to update my credit card number.
Oopsie. But they essentially hit the mute button, right? That's what they did. There's so much noise, so many alerts, and someone hit mute and stopped looking. And the tool did its job. Yep. It identified the stuff you need to look at, but the human was worn out from the constant.
Yeah, we call it alert fatigue.
Look at this. Look at this.
Yeah. We say alert fatigue a lot. It's a very real thing. You know, I just don't have the bandwidth to look at this thing. It's overwhelming me and actually making me anxious.
Right.
Therefore, I'm not going to look at the thing.
Sure.
And we take that burden completely away from customers by doing all the analysis on our end. And the other benefit of having Arctic Wolf do it is we're investigating everything that comes across as suspicious with human eyes.
Right.
So we use AI and ML. Don't get me wrong. We have to. We process a lot of data.
Yeah.
But if it gets promoted into a certain stage, it's humans. It's our badged Arctic Wolf employees that are looking, validating if it's true or false. If it's true, then it's escalated.
Sure.
So you're not inundated with false positives, with alerts, with an email inbox that's overflowing with stuff. So I think that's the huge difference between Arctic Wolf and a SIM. Do we use a SIM? Of course we do. Yep. Are we a SIM? No.
Exactly. And by the way, we were you and I were on a call yesterday with a couple of our newer reps and some other folks, and you were taking us through some of the sheer volume of stats you guys see. It's pretty mind-numbing. You are slowly marching towards being, and this is me saying and not you, being the largest SOC in the world.
Yep. It's really close.
Yeah.
Some of the today metrics are we process about twice the amount of logs per day than there are emails sent globally. Impressive. And we're very, very close to processing more information per day than Facebook.
That's insane.
It is. It's incredible.
When you think about how much information they're harvesting too, right? And to think that you guys are there, it's like. Yeah.
What are you saying?
Are you Big Brother?
Yeah, exactly. No, we're not.
You're corporate Big Brother. Yep. You're the right kind of Big Brother, right? Yep. The Big Brother that's looking out for his little brother to make sure he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, but the more the better. We've crested 6,000 customers overall. When you think about the amount of information that we have, because it is multi-tenant.
Yes.
But of course, it's SOC 2 Type 2, right? So no one can see any
right? Yeah.
At an individual
that, by the way, that's an important thing to say, too. Yeah, because we get that question a lot is, well, this is a SaaS service. It's not my own repository. Like, can everybody else see my stuff? No.
Of course not.
Cannot see your stuff.
But the more info we have, the better we can be at providing business outcomes to our clients. Because once we see it once, we can now wide stripe that information across all 6,000 customers.
Sure.
So our expedience is extremely elevated as a result of that, because we only need to do the work once and now everyone can benefit from it. Versus doing it a DIY type solution with a SIM, you're the only person.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So it's challenging.
No, and it's funny because we went through this ourselves a few years back before we signed up with you guys, right? Like, we were like, okay, we had been pushing the security message. We've been talking to customers what they have to do. And, we were like, look, we need to do better in the security operations side of the house. Like, we need our customers to be better. We have to be better, right? And so, we did an internal evaluation and we said, okay, are we going to go out and build this ourselves, right? So back to the conversation we were just having. Are we going to go find a tool, buy a tool, install a tool, configure a tool, build out the process and procedure, build the program, hire the people, right? And then go offer this, right, to our customers.
Yep.
And so part of our research was we looked at Gartner and Forrester and others, and we looked at what, you know, they thought of the market, right? And be candid, they were like, oh, there's a lot of MSPs that are doing MSSP work now that are doing kind of crappy MSSP work, right? Yep. And, you know, you and I are cut from the same cloth, right? We've worked for some great companies, right? You know, we have the same philosophy. We always want to be the best, right? We always want to represent the best tech out there, right? And so I was like, look, I don't want to build a average SOC offering here, right? So then we started evaluating the market, and you were one of the companies we evaluated, and we very quickly fell in love with your energy, and not you personally, although I do love you, Todd. like the company, right? We love the story. We love the energy. We love the roadmap. We loved what you were doing, you know, and so we invested. We said, look, we believe this makes sense. Let's build a program where we can offer this to our customers. We can make it seamless so they don't feel like it's AW or Focus. It just feels like a blended offering. And we're so glad we did because, number one, you guys have been, you know, I almost swore. You guys have been doing great.
Yep.
Right. And number two, you've just kept on innovating, kept adding new features, right? Because when we were talking to you guys, I think all you had at that time was MDR. That was all we were talking about, right? Or maybe MR was there.
MR might have been a little newer, but
yeah. And then all these other things you just talked about started to roll out, right? And, you know, there's a lot more coming in the future too, which is also a lot of very exciting stuff. That's why we chose you guys. So when we talk to customers and we have this conversation, we tell them our personal experience, right? Why we chose not to try to roll our own, right? But one of the other things that we talk about a ton is, you know, just what the cost of that roll your own would be. Because people don't really think about all the things that go into it outside of the SIM. And we talked about the vulnerability management stuff. But you want to talk a little bit about, you know, what's hiding beneath, you know, the surface for a customer that decides, well, I think I do want to go build it. And things, I'm just going to go buy a SIM, configure it, and giddy up, off I go.
We hear that a lot, especially now where some form of SIM is occasionally included in your cloud licensing.
Sure.
Which is great. It's nifty if you want to go ahead and maybe play with it and learn more about security.
Yep.
But from an overarching, I'm successful at doing this for my company 24/7 perspective, I've never talked to a customer that said, yep, this is working perfectly. It's 24/7. Again, because of the cost, to your point. Sure. So SIM, I think, again, is a misnomer because it's used as like, I have a SIM. All right. What else do you have? Well, what else do I need, right? Well, you need professional services because there's a lot of things that need to be stood up around a SIM. You and I have both configured storage arrays specifically to house SIM data. It's a lot of data that comes into that stuff. So you've got a hardware component to this. What about your vulnerability management? SIMs don't do that. That's not what they do. They're all about log and event monitoring. And oftentimes you're not covering the entire environment holistically either, right? So we do this mantra called broad visibility. I think we'll talk about that in a couple minutes, where we want to see all the things. Traditional SIMs, you're paying each time you want to add a thing. So that adds in cost exponentially to where we do talk to customers that have SIMs and we ask them how much of your environment is covered. It's usually under 50% just because of the cost.
Yeah, not to pick on SIMs, right? And we're certainly not going to name names, right? Which we could do, but we're not going to. There was a whole sub-market that was created in the industry of tools that sole purpose in life was to allow you to limit the amount of data going into your SIM tool, right? Yeah. To do more targeted pushes of data to SIM because it was so darn expensive to store it.
I mean, I think IT has gotten this philosophy that less is more. Let's virtualize. Let's hyperconverge. Let's do all flash. Let's minimize. Sure. Security, in my opinion, is the only space left in IT where more is more, right? You want to have more. You want to have all the data. We don't actually license data. It's unlimited ingest from Arctic Wolf. If you have a thing you want us to look at, great. Point it to us. We'll do it. So we don't limit or make customers suffer monetarily for wanting to have more visibility. We encourage it.
Yeah. And it's good to see the world move in that direction, right? Because like, for example, you know, we have a data analytics practice here at Focus, right? And we use a lot of Snowflake involved in that, right? And that's one of the things with Snowflake is you can push your stuff up there and the cost of storage is minimal, right? The real cost is compute and they separate the two. So just like in this case, you guys are saying push the data here, right? We say the same thing to our customers. We're like, don't worry about which subset of data. Get it all up there. That's not the cost. The real cost is going to be when you start to use that data. And that can be more targeted. You can decide what's the ROI, what's the TCO, right? What is it going to benefit it to, you know, do something with this data, right? And you can make decisions that way to contain costs.
Yeah, you really can. And it can be various forms of data as well. One of my colleagues that covers the Boston territories tells a great story about a company that ingests or has us ingest rather telemetry from their physical door locks at their company. They were having an issue with theft. And by using the logs that they retained in the Arctic Wolf platform, they were able to ascertain who was logging in and stealing the things. So certainly not what we do necessarily, right? Because we are cybersecurity, if you will, not physically, but they leveraged us because of our ability to provide unlimited ingest. Didn't cost them a dime, but ultimately saved them the frustration of theft. And
sure,
of course, we're able to say goodbye to that employee.
Did they happen to use Data Explorer to look at that data? Nice.
Yeah, so
do you want to talk a little bit about that since I just brought that up?
Yeah, so we're not blind to the customer, right? So the customer still has a lot of visibility and oftentimes control within the system as well. So even though they're not managing a SIM, Data Explorer takes it a step further where we're able to provide searchable raw logs as well as searchable post-processed information back to the customer. So if we do have a customer that is familiar with SecOps, maybe has run a SIM in the past, likes to turn their own nerd knobs, we can open those up and let them, he or she, do their own investigations or help us to provide faster outcomes, because now we don't have to hold a hand as firmly as maybe we do with some other clients. Mm. If we have somebody that's familiar on that side, it just gets done quicker as a result. So there's a lot of visibility and control and things that a customer can do within the Arctic Wolf platform without managing a SIM.
That was actually a big offering you guys brought, the Data Explorer stuff, because while the value prop is that it's a managed offering, right? And you don't have to do it. All the stuff we're talking about, you don't have to bear the burden of these things, right? We still run into cases where, customers want to do some of their own, like peeking around, doing some of their own, like reporting and stuff like that. And so it's nice to be able to provide that, right? Because we're all human. You said it earlier, right? Just because your organization made a decision that they want to outsource this because they don't want to have 7 to 8 humans to run the SOC, doesn't mean that the one or two that are still there don't want to participate, right?
Yeah.
So this is the way to be able to meet both requirements, right? Have it offloaded so you don't have to bear the burden of this, but still allow you to participate and poke around and do your own reporting and stuff.
Absolutely. It's been a huge benefit. Again, not just for the customer benefit, but for all of our benefits, because if we do have kind of that dual model, the partnership I keep talking about, if the client is quick and knows what's going on and is able to validate and assist in whatever's necessary during the triage actions, all the more better and all the quicker we can get it done.
Absolutely. So you said it a minute ago. I'm going to go back to this point, 'cause this is another thing that we get a lot of questions on, a lot of pushback on, right? So there are a lot of solutions out there, good solutions, that handle endpoints, and then they handle the SOC, in quotes, kind of piece of that endpoint, right? Yep. So affectionately called EDR, right? Endpoint detection response. And we often get the question of, well, isn't that enough? Like, isn't the EDR piece enough? Like, that's, the endpoint is a huge target. So if I've got that target closed off with endpoint protection, then I have, this SOC-like functionality behind me, like watching anything to go on in the EDR and let me know when something goes wrong. Aren't I fine?
This comes up in a lot of customer conversations as it relates to redundancy.
Sure.
Right? Aren't you guys redundant? I have EDR, XYZ. I won't name names, but some are very more famous for it than others. We're saying, hey, you have our EDR. You're good. You don't need anything else.
Yep.
And my very pointed question back to a client anytime that comes up is simple. You have more than endpoints, right? You have a network? Yeah.
Right.
Do you have cloud? Yeah. Are you monitoring those? No. Should you be? Yes. It's a pretty simple talk track once you actually break it down.
Yeah.
And when we start talking about, where our initial indicator of compromise in within the Arctic Wolf SOC, in other words, what thing did we first recognize the threat or the event on? It's only 15% of the time on the endpoint. Right. So 85% of the time, it's not on your endpoint.
Sure.
EDR is critical. Don't get rid of EDR. You need EDR. Like, it's a thing you should absolutely have.
Yeah.
But it's not the only thing.
So let's run through the environment real quick, right? Hit on some of the key areas. So because you guys see as much data as you said a minute ago, right? And we just called out the fact that only 15% of the data you see, those things of concern, are on the endpoint. Let's go through the other areas of the organization. Talk about, what percentage you see in those spots.
Yeah. So, it's all over the map, right? Firewalls around 5% of the time, we see that as the initial point of compromise. But, yep. You can tell why it's only 5%. Probably not the most popular place to try to infiltrate.
Sure.
Unless it's a vulnerability and it's outdated code, and then sure, let's right. get in that way.
I would guess of that 5%, 95% are vulnerabilities.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just a complete guess, but that we've seen that in our own IR work is that, it originated the firewall, and then we look like, oh man, that vulnerability has been out there for 2 years. Like,
there's your patching again.
Exactly.
But some of the bigger ones are identity access control, right? Okta, Duo, your MFA pushes, the fatigues.
Sure.
All those things, just from an identity perspective, AD, is pretty popular. It's 20% of the time. That's where we see things infiltrating initially. Mm-hmm. And then we start talking through cloud, IaaS workloads, 10%, SaaS applications, O365, G Suite, et cetera, 15%. But the big one, and the one that I don't think any EDR vendor can truly say I'm properly addressing, is your network.
Sure.
And that's 30%.
Right.
So if you're not monitoring the network, if you're completely reliant on EDR, you're missing a very large part of your environment. And I try to analogize it when I'm on the phone with customers. It's like, hey, when you go to bed at night, you lock your doors. Yep. Do you leave your windows wide open? Well, of course you don't.
Right.
And that's, to me, what it says if I'm relying completely on EDR. You're leaving your windows open.
Sure. And it's funny, too, because we've been talking to customers, and we'll be talking about, you know, the Arctic Wolf security operations stuff. And, you know, they'll be telling us how, well, we're also talking to EDR vendor, and, you know, we think that EDR will be enough. And then in parallel to that, we're talking to them about how do we get MFA onto network devices to protect them. And I'm like, well, why is that important if you don't care about, like, the visibility of those things, right? They're kind of the same thing.
Because I think they've almost been indoctrinated with EDR being enough.
Yeah.
And you can't blame a company for wanting to, you know, have more of their product out there in the wild. That's great. Again, I'm not taking anything away from an EDR vendor.
Sure.
I'm just simply saying the misconception that's, I think, been insinuated is incorrect. If you want your environment secured, you need to monitor your whole environment.
Right. And even their go-to-markets prove that out, right? Because what are most of them trying to do? They're trying to move from EDR to, you know, XDR, or call it what you want. There's a million terms out there, right? But they're trying to do more than just the endpoint in terms of monitoring and log ingestion, all that stuff.
There's three or four of the big ones out there that have all either acquired some kind of log and event management tool, or are trying to use the rest of their product suite to create something of a SOC. But, and I talk about this all the time, it gets kludgy.
Sure.
Right? It gets convoluted. It's not a single umbrella. It's not human-driven like Arctic Wolf is. It's still a tools-based approach. And the tools that we've been throwing at security for this many years are not effective. I think the United States spent $170 billion last year in tools, and we saw a 48% increase in cybercrime losses.
Yeah.
So, not working.
We talk about that a lot. We talk about how awareness is there. Right, because of all the breaches, because of the fact that, you know, north of 70% of organizations have already been popped, many of those multiple times, right? So people are spending money. I mean, you know, I jokingly said that the epiphany moment was when it was either prime time or 20 minutes or 60 minutes, like one of those shows that our parents watched and now we watch because we're old, right? And when all of a sudden they were talking about cybersecurity on these shows, I was like, holy crap, it's gone mainstream, right?
Yeah.
So the awareness is there, but the effectiveness is not, right? We're still struggling. And a lot of that's because we're just not watching, right? People aren't monitoring stuff. They're not reacting quickly enough.
Yep. I think we as human beings have become somewhat blind to it, right?
Sure.
I mean, a scam is every time we open the phone, every time we jump onto Facebook. That's why Craigslist is effectively dead to a degree, right? It's the scams.
Yep.
We've become numb to it to a degree, but it doesn't mean in our corporate environments that we need to ignore it. We need to look at this stuff holistically. And I think we do a really good job of making that feasible with the way that we've set this up, the way that we license it. It makes it so it makes sense. And again, I'm not going to ding you if you want to integrate a different thing. I truly want to see it I can understand and protect your environment.
Sure. And by the way, that's one of the things we always loved about you guys was that you approach the market from a neutral position. Mm-hmm. You're like, look, I'm not here to push an EDR on you. I'm not here to push, you know, any of these things. I'm here to say, tell me what you got. I'll ingest it, right? And I'll give you back the information you need, right? I'll tell you when there are things, items of concern that need to be addressed, right? Yeah. We'll talk about things like, hey, you know, Todd logged in to, you know, the iHeartRadio studio here in Somerville earlier, and an hour later, hey, Todd's trying to log in from North Korea. I'm pretty sure that's not cool, right? So, you know, those are the kinds of things that we love love to talk to our customers about, right?
Yeah, we kind of say vendor neutral a lot, right? So I'm never going to tell someone that I'm talking to that you can only have this or that firewall, or you can only have this or that EDR.
Sure.
There's a lot of really great tools out there. They have good telemetry. We made a decision to integrate with them rather than to attempt to replace them. And then at the same time, on the side here, we're generating a lot of our own telemetry via various means as well. So, you know, we do have an agent, we have network sensors, and we have all these other components, but we aggregate everything together, again, under that same umbrella, single source of truth, and can do the correlations.
Amen. So let's talk about that data. Let's talk about the posture of environment. Let's talk about some of these, you know, compliance checklists that you folks have. So we've talked a ton on this podcast and with customers and prospects over the years about, you know, building the program, doing it the right way, starting with, you know, start with the end. Like, what's the outcome? Like, where do we want to be? Right. Okay. Then work backwards. Right. So that starts with what compliance do you need to meet? Right. So pick a standard, any standard, right? And then how do you help customers, you know, understand where they sit?
Yeah, so there's a lot of big compliances. We kind of talked about NIST already. So yep. I'll just talk about that one generically speaking, because like I said earlier, it's kind of the granddaddy of a lot of these things. So I think for a customer that doesn't legally have to adhere to a compliance, focus on NIST. If you're hitting NIST, you're doing all the right things.
Amen.
And we can help a customer do that. We align with NIST CFS. We have a lot of hooks into the controls. We understand what needs to get done. We can do reporting against it so you can understand your readiness or completeness, if you will. But then you've got some big legal ones, and not adhering to those, the ramifications are not great.
Right.
HIPAA is a perfect example of that. There's around 10 different cybersecurity controls within HIPAA that we can help satisfy. CMMC, we're starting to
see. That's a big one.
Oh, right? Huge.
Because, you know, the way the rules are written, right? And again, right, it's gone through a couple false starts, but the way the rules are written is if you're a supplier in the defense industry, right? And that means a supplier to a supplier, right? It's tiered out. To bid on these contracts, you have to have CMMC.
That's it.
And we've talked to customers a ton that have come to us and been like panicked saying, oh, we're trying to renew a contract and there's a CMMC requirement and we need to be CMC certified like by tomorrow. And it's like, whoa, hey, whoa. This thing's been around for a couple of years. Like, we can help you, but it's certainly not going to be tomorrow.
Like you said, it got fumbled a little bit here and there. Weird that anything governmental got fumbled.
I can't believe it.
But CMMC 2.0, which is the current rev, seems to be sticking around, which is good.
Yep.
So now we can kind of all run toward it.
Sure.
The big thing with CMMC is that it does not allow for self-attestation. You must prove legitimately that you are compliant. You just can't say, yep, good to go.
Sure.
Which is really what it was in the past. So, and to your point too, it can be a supplier of a supplier. You can be the paint manufacturer that does Battleship Gray and sell it to someone that sells it to the Navy. If you're not CMMC 2, you're done. You can't sell Battleship Gray anymore.
Yep.
So we're really helping a lot of customers with CMMC readiness. We satisfy a ton of the components of CMMC or help support a lot of them as well. So by acquiring Arctic Wolf, you're well on your way to full CMMC compliance. And same deal with a lot of these other ones. There's some legal compliances, HIPAA we already mentioned. There's some new SEC compliances if you're a public company now.
We talked about those on last week's podcast.
Oh, did you? Okay.
We did, yeah.
That's a very real thing.
Absolutely. And it's an exciting thing, right? Because we've been telling customers for a while now that this is coming. We're like, listen, IT is going to have its awakening day, just like finance did back with SOX, right? And sure enough, NIST, which was, to your point, self-profess, whether you were NIST or not, right? Now, of course, everybody was NIST, right?
Of course.
None of them were, but everybody was NIST. Yeah. Government realized that, right? That's where CMMC came in, which is largely based on NIST, right? But then it includes this magical thing called a third-party audit.
Yep.
Huh, what's that sound like? Finance,
right?
So that happens. Then the SEC rules for publicly traded companies. You now have to report within 4 days if you've had a major incident, right? You have to show board oversight. You have to show what investments you're making in your 10K, right? So we talk about investors, talk about, you know, movement of money, large sums of money. Security is now front and center in all these conversations. That's a big deal for this industry.
It's great. It's a big deal for everyone, for the country, for the world, however you want to classify it. But raising awareness in general, I think, is important. Getting customers and clients to understand that while, yes, maybe this is an additional expense that you didn't already have on the books, it's a necessary one. Because the average cost of a breach, I promise you, is more than investing in an Arctic Wolf or, frankly, protecting yourself in another way if you want to. Just get protected. We even saw, you know, a large amount of funding, rather, being granted in the bipartisan infrastructure bill for K-12 and universities.
Yep.
The amount of times those get popped is upsetting.
I know.
Because bad actors know they can't afford this stuff. They've never done this stuff. But I still know what your budget is because it's public. I read it. I know you have $30 million somewhere.
Exactly.
I'm just going to pop you and maybe I'll take $1 million.
Right.
So
it wasn't too long ago that poor Peterborough got popped, right?
Yeah, three towns over from where I live.
Exactly.
And it was actually a fairly elegant hack, if you want to call it that. Not a large town.
Nope.
They did a wire transfer for $2.3 million because they were doing a bridge project and then also the school budget was due. again, public record. They know exactly how much money is going to be coming in.
Yep.
So what these bad actors did, again, like I said, it was kind of elegant, not to give them any kudos, but it was smart. They're not dumb people, I guess is what I'm trying to emphasize. They hacked the construction company that was given the bid for the bridge. So spoofed an email, changed an ACH number, took the money. It's that simple.
Yep.
It's crazy. It's not simple. It's pretty,
right.
It's well orchestrated.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, that brings me to a couple other points, right? I talked a little bit in one of the prior podcasts about risk transfer, right? Where, you know, the industry is trying to say, okay, well, I need to make sure that I'm protected. So I want to transfer the risk somewhere else, right? That's what, you know, cyber insurance really is, right? It's what any insurance is, hey, in the event something happens, I want you to bear the risk, not me. You pay for that, right? That's your, you know, the cost you pay for your policy. But you guys actually came out and said, hey, listen, you know, we believe our product is solid. We have data that proves it's solid. We know that when little things occur, because we're watching, because we have all this intelligence, that we make those little things stay little things, right? And you back your own product with your warranties, right? You want to talk a little bit about the product warranty? Now, it doesn't replace cyber insurance, but it's certainly out there to say, hey, look, we have confidence in our product, and in the event that something happens and meets this criteria, we will, in fact, pay up.
Yeah, so this is supplemental coverage, again, because we believe in what we're doing, and we're willing to effectively put our money where our mouth is. So sure. I try to, again, to explain this. This is AFLAC. This is not
just
insurance.
Go AFLAC.
Yep. It's insurance. You still need CI. If you don't have it, get it. Yep. But this provides you with a pad. So if something does happen, we've already done a lot of efforts to mitigate the risk, right? We're monitoring, we're doing the vulnerabilities, we're training your humans, but there's always going to be a degree of residual risk. That's unavoidable.
Sure.
But we can try to pacify that residual risk by saying, all right, you got popped on our watch, something we should have caught, / you're also, you know, adhering to best practices and you don't have 2-year-old firmware on your firewall, that kind of stuff. So we're going to help you out, right? You had to pay a deductible, you got ransomware, a number of different things. We'll help you out and mitigate some of that risk. Or transfer rather some of that risk.
Yeah, yeah.
And that helps customers a lot. And it's viewed favorably by CI,
yep.
By, you know, executives that we talk to. This makes sense. We don't want to use it.
Of course,
we don't want to use it, but if we have to, this gives customers a peace of mind and confidence that we're confident in ourselves.
Yeah. And let's piggyback on that CI cyber insurance comment you just made, right? We now seeing, like, I always talk about the insurance company, or as a company that has a data analytics practice, right? I always talk about, you know, industries that use data, right, well. And this is certainly, you know, one of the leaders. Finance, obviously, right? Because we're talking about, like, little tiny moves can make and break entire economies, right? But the insurance space, the reason why we can log on to any insurance vendor's website, right? Let's use Geico because everybody knows Geico, right? And save 15% on your car insurance, right? Fill out your form, get your quote right there is data. Right? They essentially know who you are based on the questions they ask. And they have a large amount of data which says, oh, you know, this is a Todd Mallett, right? This is a template. Todd's a pretty good driver, right? So I'm giving you some kudos, buddy.
Thanks. I wouldn't use me as the Geico example.
And they say, okay, well, this is what it costs to be a Todd Mallett, right? Yep. So now the data is there. We have enough of a sample size in the cybersecurity world where these insurance companies starting to say, hey, wait a minute. If my customer has Arctic Wolf, they're actually in a phenomenal position. And not just acknowledging that they're in a phenomenal position, but now there's real money. We've been talking to our partners in the insurance space for years about how do we do the Geico, right? If you have the wheel deployed, if you have good security foundation, you know, you should save 15% on your, you know, cyber insurance. And it's been so hard because there's no centralized consortium, right? There's underwriters, there's brokers, and there's all these different things. But now the data is coming out, and we actually have tangible examples of insurance companies have come to our customers, right? Some cases we brought them to the table, other cases they found them themselves. And they're literally saying, okay, if you have Arctic Wolf, I'm going to give you better coverage and I'm going to cut your costs, right? And in some cases, it funds the investment in SOC. Do you want to talk a little bit about this?
Yeah. So, I mean, anyone listening to this podcast, if you've tried to renew insurance or get new insurance in the last, 2 years, you know it's brutal. It's changed a lot. It's not 10 questions, here you go anymore. It's 100 questions. It's, you know, analysis. It's digging deep so they can truly understand their level of risk at the CI level. So what we've done is by doing what we do and having kind of the clout that we have, I guess, we can help customers lower their cyber insurance rates. Lower the rates, lower the deductible, increase your premium, whatever you want to do, by having login event monitoring, by having Arctic Wolf and all the other things that we do, you know, backed by the reputation that we have. To your point, we've seen a lot of discounting to the degree in which it can fund fully or partially the Arctic Wolf investment. We've had some customers with just crazy premiums, almost embarrassingly so, and they go back or contact a broker and maybe get some competitive quotes. And again, oh, you have Arctic Wolf, here's what it's going to look like, because we know that our level of risk just plummeted.
Sure.
That we're going to have to pay out some astronomical amount of money to you should something go bad, and we're confident it will go bad.
Right.
Now it's the exact opposite. Oh, we're confident it won't go bad because you're doing all these things. You're using the Arctic Wolf, you're using the Focus, you're doing the Wheel. And that's been a big kind of ancillary benefit. Now, we don't sell insurance.
Right.
But we can But we can really help customers lower that number. And, and for a lot of customers, it's a big number.
Absolutely.
So if I can use that as a red line to help them justify Arctic Wolf for their business, that's awesome.
Yeah, and to your point, like neither one of us sells insurance, right? But we do sell business outcomes to our customers, and we do want to help solve problems. And this is connected to what we're doing, right? So, you know, it's been almost unreal in the sense that in some cases we've been able to talk to a customer, right? Talk to an insurance provider and literally give them a better security posture and improve their cyber insurance. And at worst, it's a break even.
Yeah.
In some cases, it's actually net positive for the customer. They're saving money year over year.
Yep, that's been an interesting lever for us to utilize and a very, very beneficial one.
So. Yeah, never thought I'd see it because we talked to a lot of insurance companies and we got a lot of, that sounds really good, but there's no chance we're doing that. But no, you can't. Again, they're a data-driven organization, right? So the data speaks for itself. So, you know, the last thing I want to talk about was the Forrester Total Economic Impact Study of Arctic Wolf Security Operations Solution. So this was kind of a, you know, consume the service versus go and try to roll your own. And what does it mean, right? And we've talked a little bit about that during this podcast, but here we have an analyst that actually did the research, and it came home quite favorably to you guys.
It did. This is a good report, you know, third-party, independent study, et cetera, et cetera. And we already kind of talked about some of the ancillary things that would go into the SIM.
Yep.
You know, all the underlying infrastructure and everything else that needs to do. So to kind of distill this down really quick, Forrester analyzed Arctic Wolf versus the roll-your-own DIY type of SOC. And found us to have a 411% ROI that with a payback of less than 6 months. So pretty phenomenal kind of accolades on what we're able to accomplish. And again, sometimes, you know, when you look at the quote, if you will, from an Arctic Wolf perspective, maybe it looks a little bit higher than you were expecting. But when you boil it down to what the investment could potentially be, A, if you tried to do it on your own, or B, you didn't do it at all and got popped,
right?
It's a pretty minimal investment. You know,
agreed.
Try to hearken it down, like it's the cost of like one or two people.
Yeah.
Right. And one or two people still can't get you 24/7.
Right.
Because we hear that too. I'm just going to hire a guy. One guy?
Right.
One girl?
24/7?
Yeah. Like they're not robots. Right. They have to sleep at some point. Right.
They have PTO. It's part of every offer.
Absolutely. So I think this is a really good job of making kind of what you and I are talking about here very understandable, graphical, right? So you can go look at some charts and graphs and understand how they came to this conclusion. But yeah, 411% ROI and a less than 6 month payback. So,
yeah, I mean, all the stuff we talk about, right? It just, you know, encapsulates for customers why at the very least they want to look at this as an option, right? They may ultimately decide they don't have the money to do. A lot of smaller customers come to us and go, you know, this is a lot of money. I'm like, okay, to your point, we're like, what about the breach? What about this? So more often than not, they forego doing anything, which is obviously bad, but they make that business decision, which is well within their right, right? But when they're going to do something, to your point, you know, I'll have people come to me within the halls of Focus and be like, hey, I'm getting pushback on this deal. And you know, we're talking to the customer, they don't like the number. And I'm like, well, if you walked them through the ROI, like have you done a comparison? And a lot of times they haven't. And to your point, it's like one of our reps came to one time. He's like, dude, why wouldn't everybody buy this?
Yeah.
He's like, this is literally like the cost of one or two employees, which you need 5, 6, 7, 8 to run a 24/7 SOC. He's like, I don't understand why everybody doesn't buy this. And I said, remember that and make sure you tell your peers on our side and you tell every customer you talk to that exact same story because it's true. And the Forrester study certainly helps drive that home.
We've had some customers with a similar epiphany, if you will. And I can't tell you how many engagements I've been involved in where we've been talking to the customer for a couple months or so, kind of going through scoping, explaining what Arctic Wolf does, you know, kind of getting that technical level of validation that, hey, I want this. It makes sense for my company. I'm going to do it next summer, right? And then they get popped.
Sure.
Right. And I had this happen recently over the summer, actually, with a community college in Massachusetts. And we provided the IR services for that college. The IR that they had to spend to solve the problem was more than the Arctic Wolf quote. Yeah. Right. So it's like, guys, I get it. You had to pause it for reasons that, you know, maybe I understood or I didn't understand. But you just kind of double paid, unfortunately, sure. and suffered an outage.
Right.
For days in this example. Optics aren't great. Reputational status is something I think oftentimes we ignore. It's not just monetary,
right?
You know, reputational status is a big deal.
Yeah. When Adam Anderson, our VP of sales, joined the company, we had a customer that we'd been talking to about security posture. We talked about managed services, right? And they had an existing MSP and they didn't really have a good security posture. The MSP was not doing MSSP services for them. So they were kind of in a weird place. And so we've been talking about a bunch of stuff, but we hadn't really closed anything and they got popped. Right. So they came to us instead of their existing MSP because they felt like we would be better served to help them. They were right.
Yep.
Right. Yep. We pulled you guys in. We did the IR. We identified the issue. Right. They paid for the services to get things back online. While that was going on, they signed our MSP contract. They signed up for Arctic Wolf. And Adam's comment was, man, this is a damned if you do. Right. Damned if you don't. Like, he's like, you know, there's no win for the customer here. Like, they obviously the win is good security posture.
Sure,
his point was, yeah. There's no, like, I'm not doing anything. You either do the right thing and have the right security posture and you pay that money, right?
Yep.
Or you don't and you get popped. And then you pay for the pop and you go back and you pay for the do the right thing again, right? So he's like, you know, as a customer, like, you have to do something because there's it's, if you don't, it's a no win, right? You just can't win unless you actually do the right thing and move forward. It's going to cost you more money to not do the right thing, right? Which is...
It always is.
Which is crazy.
Buy once, cry once.
Anyway, that's fantastic. Any parting comments as we wrap up this week's podcast?
No, thanks for having us. If anyone has any questions on Arctic Wolf in general, you know, by all means, contact Focus, contact Arctic Wolf, and I really appreciate the ability to do this.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. I know we're going to have a lot more cool things to talk about Arctic Wolf in the not-too-distant future, so I'm sure you'll be back on the program.
Sounds good.
Thanks for joining me, buddy.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for joining us. We will talk to you next time on the In Focus podcast. Take it easy. We'll be right back.